Other moves the Ola Ben Chovis and Mazes Ben Er Ben Yashin. The Mishnah begins on Chavav Amaral by telling us that of the five Mu'adim, which were enumerated in the Mishnah and Daftar Zavim, the first parak, Adam is Mu'ad Liyom. They're all Mu'adim, Shane is Mu'ad, Reckless Mu'ad, and so on and so forth. Adam is Mu'ad Liyom, Mi Ben Chovis Ben Mazes Ben Er Ben Yashin. In the Zarah Hashas, it tells you there's an alternative Girsa, which is Ben Ba'ones, Ben Beratzon. And that question of Girsa lies at the heart of what a lot of Rishonim debate in this subject. It does seem, tell me, I'm Chayiv Nezek, even B'Shogeg, as we said, you saw the Gemara goes on to comment on the Seifa of the Mishnah. Seemeh Zayin Chadei or Shibir Atakeil B'Shalim, Nezek Shalim, that whether you're a Chovah or you're a Mazik, you pay Nezek Shalim and only Nezek Shalim. So we saw, the Gemara explains that that's because we're talking about a shogeg. Seemeh Zayin Chadei or Dibir Shibir Atakeil, the Chovel is only the same status as the Mazik, Mahasim Nezek in Abad Varam Lo, Avsimis and Chadero, Nezek and Nezek exclusively Abad Varam Lo. And where does that come from? So we spent some time before Yom Tov, before Purim, in the debate about this Minohani Mili. Either we're talking about what's the Makar that you are Chai of Nezek Bishogin, or what's the Makar that you're not Chai of the other Dalai Zara Bishogin. That's derived from Pesach Tachas Patsa. Then the Gemara, for the balance of the Perek, the next Amud and a half, goes through a whole slew of different cases of Nezek, around 10 or so. It's a very unusual style of Gemara in the Deacon. You see the style of Piskei Dinah in the series of Piskei Dinah. You'll find that in like Yeridei Gemara. You'll find that in Kulin, you'll find it in Renapa Sugis, you find it in Vodazar. You don't see that often in the Bavli. You see it seldom in the Bavli. We have a long list of Piskei Dinim, but these Piskei Dinim are very loaded. Oh, most of these cases will have multiple Piskei Halach. In the Zikin, Yechayim, in Abarazvar, Yipatr, and so on and so forth. Let's take a look. Amar Rabba, Evan Munachas Lo Becheko. Fellow has a stone on his lap. Lohikibah, not aware of it. He stands up and it falls. He stands up and the rock falls and causes damage. Lein is akein chay. Lein da'adorim. Tot. With respect to Nezek, you chay respect to da'adorim. Tot the Rashi says, the ha'apkinun, shogeg kemezen, ba'ones kiratzen. There you have it. We already said, Yerchayiv even b'shogeg. We already said, Yerchayiv even b'ones. Number one, that when he said apkina, apkina means, what does apkina mean? What's the shorash of apkina? One letter is missing. Nun peikof. Nun peikof, knock up is to go out. Apik is to take out. Lahotzi, either literally to take out or logically, conceptually, to extract, to derive a din from a pasuk, to be mapik it. So, apkina means we learned out. This is Rashi Lashitasa, who told us at the top of the Amud, that the Minani Mili is that Nezek is not that the Dalai Yipata and the Dalai Zari B'Shogeg, but that you're Chayiv a Nezek, a Filu B'Shogeg. So, apkina, we just darshened it earlier in the Amud, Petra Tachas Pasa, and here Rashi adds what may have been missing in the Girsa of the Mishnah. Rashi is explicitly, you chayev b'shogeg and you chayev b'ones. You saw, the Rashba has the girsa me'olam, and others have the girsa. Well, he could have me'olam, never knew it was there. So if you never knew it was there, that already sounds like an ones, right? Well, we'll get to the topic of misasek later on the Yaman, but it certainly sounds like an ones. I had no clue there was something in my lap. How did that happen? It's a little strange. But it doesn't sound like you're a poshea. You had no clue there was something in your lap. Hey, what does that mean? You fell asleep. Don't put something on your lap without you noticing it. So I stood up. I did not realize. I had no awareness. It seems a little strange. How would I not notice that there's a rock on my lap?
Aren't you Rashi is Onis or Shomei?
Rashi does not tell us which it is. But Rashi does go out of his way to mention Onis, which I not yet mentioned. The top Rashi just said Shomei. So it is a little bit of an indication that I wouldn't say it's Mukher, but it certainly sounds as though, if I had to guess, I would think the Mashmos from Rashi, if this is a case of Onis, and it does conform to the gears of the Raj and others have nailed. Okay, then the Gemara goes on, will Bleeder come back? The Gemara has more things to say about this case. In addition to Chai ben Ezek v'Patan Dal Varim, talk about those in terms of Shabbos, in terms of Golos and Hori Dishkaga, what will be the deal? So Bleeder will come back to that. And then you take a look at the Gemara. Take a look at the Gemara on Chavzayin and Aleph. Skipping around, the Gemara on Chavzayin and Aleph talks about, has several cases of people falling off of a rooftop. And why are people falling off of a rooftop? So just as an aside, there are also rooftops, the Tufas and Chazal were flat.
We're
typically flat.
But then there would be a market, no?
Rooftops are typically flat and used for things. That was another, it was like some houses have a Florida roof. Where, you know, so the screened in area that's only usable in the summer. So B'tkufas Chazal, every house had a Florida roof on top. You basically got an extra floor. During the sunny season, you had use of the roof. The roofs are basically flat. And you could use them for all sorts of things. Gemara talks about building a sukkah on the roof, so on and so forth. So the fellow's on the roof, and there's a powerful wind, and the wind tosses him off. Nafam Yosha Gag Baruach by the little letter Dalit. Amar Rabba, Vi Amar Rabba, Nafam Yosha Gag Baruach She'ena Mitsuya. It gets blown off by an unusual wind, unusually. An anomalously strong wind, stronger than the typical wind of this area. The hizik ubiish, and you land on someone, and you cause damage, and it's also embarrassing. The guy walking by, and all of a sudden, someone clunks down on his head. That's pretty embarrassing. Maybe you also ripped his clothing, whatever it was. Nezek tzar rikur shevaz boshes. It could be up to five zvar. So you're chayiv, or not, the Gemara says, you're chayiv, the dalad dvar, but pater al boshes. You're chayiv on four, pater al boshes. And here, usually in the past, when you use the terminology dalad dvar, I mean the four other than nezek. Now I mean the four other than boshes. Now there's chayiv not only on nezek, but even on tsar, ripoy, and shevet, but not on the boshes. Not on the boshes. Boshes has to be kavana. That's why the bride, the rabbi goes on to say, you're in this hapeh. If once you're in the air, it's not a very long drop. You're in the air, so you sort of turn over and sort of angle yourself. You angle yourself to land on this fellow, so then you're chayav boshes off. We'll come back to that. That notion that there are three levels of intentionality with respect to chovel. There's you require the least intentionality in order to be chayiv on nezek. You require something more to be chayiv on tzarip and shabbos. And then, for boshes, you actually have to have kavanah. If you angled yourself to hit that guy, that's already chayiv. Now, this is remarkable, because you're getting blown up by ruach she'ena metzuya. Ruach she'ena metzuya. Again, this is before modern meteorology. Modern meteorology is not 100% accurate, but definitely a whole lot better than it was even 20 years ago, which in turn was a whole lot better than it was a century ago. So you weren't able to predict, you didn't know that today there would be gale. Gale is 50, 60, 70 degrees, 70 miles an hour. We had no idea. But anyway, I didn't expect it. I was on the roof. Oh, the wind is blowing. I'm standing in the way. The wind is blowing 10 miles an hour. It's not going to knock me off the roof. It's not going to knock the fence down. It's not going to blow me off. All of a sudden, it sounded like a 50 mile an hour wind. Boom! So I went flying. I didn't see it coming. I couldn't predict it. Ruach Shein Mitzvah is not something that's typical in this area, this time of the year. And then I got blown off. So when you think about these three Gemaras, the Mishnah with the Drasha Petitach Hespatza, and then the Evan Becheko Volhikerba, sort of Hikar Meolam, the Rashi says, Onus Karatzon, and then the case of the Nafal Min Agag Beruach She'ena Mitzuyah. So what do all three of these have to have in common? You're chayiv bonus. Azam Baal says chayiv bonus. Not to be chayiv. The third case has the even chayiv on Tzara Nipin and Shabbos. That's already pretty surprising. Number one, the Mishnah, together with the drasha Petzatach Hespatza, and then the Mishnah wasn't a specific case. Mishnah was more general comment, and then you have the case later Chavavim Beis of the Evan Becheko, and you have the case of Chavzayim Alf. Of the Nafal Magad Beruach She'ena Mitzuya. So those cases all sound like, for all these Gemaras, seem to say that Adam HaMazik Ba'onas is Chayim. Again, according to some, that's the Beferish Mishnah, in Ba'onas Ben Ratzin. Rashi said it, Chavam HaBez, Ruach She'ena Mitzuya, from Zion Ralph. Ruach She'ena Mitzuya, Chayim. So that's, again, it's not surprising, Adam HaMazik Ba'onas is Chayim. The problem is that then you turn the page to Parakam Miniyah. It seems like the last Mishnah here is telling the other Mazes Bonus is high, and the Gemaras on this Mishnah seem consistent with that. The problem is that once you get to Parakam Miniyah, the whole thrust of Parakam Miniyah is, it sounds like if you're a Poshe, if I crash into you, as much as Miniyah is about collisions. But back in the old days, they didn't have cars, but they still had collisions. Right? Because sometimes, without cars, the collisions tend to be less lethal, but certainly still injurious. And I'm carrying something, you're carrying something, we bump into each other, we trip over each other, all those opening mishnayos are Parakam Miniyah. So we'll dive into details in a moment, but even from the opening sugya, from Zion days, it sounds like if you're a Poshea, then you're a Chayim. If you're not a Poshea, then you're Putter. If I'm not a Poshea, then I'm not responsible. It wasn't my fault. I crashed into you. It wasn't my fault. You tripped over me, but I wasn't the Poshea. So then all of a sudden, it's not my fault. And that seems to be the thrust of Parakamania, is otherwise your bonus is Putter. Poshea, if I bonus or Putter. So that's a big, big problem that we showed in dealing. No, you've remained very patient.
So, can you say that the Rashba believes that case of Elam Minachas is Shogeg?
The case of
Elam Minachas sold the Fekor? Because he says that in the Nisman Chayat, the Rashba told him to have his Fatsa, Shogeg Kinezit. This is an ancient church in Israel.
Ooh, interesting. That's a good point.
That may make it easier when he says that when he distinguishes between Onis and Onis Gamor, because this is not Onis Gamor.
So, no, I'm saying Rashba, if you compare the Rashba to Rashi, while Rashi Chavav Mudez added Onos Karatzo, the Rashba did not. So maybe that indicates the Rashba does not think that it's an Onos. Okay? That may be important.
Does
he
specifically say he's a
Shogeg?
Yeah, doesn't he say
that?
Yeah,
so it sounds like it's not an Onos. It's just a Shogeg. So then that's not that. So you're saying maybe right after Rashi Rajbar.
Am I not
seeing a Shogeg?
What?
Am I
asking a Shogeg?
Well, if you're going to distinguish between Onis and Onis Gamor, you're going to have to explain how
the Shogeg can still be a Poshea, potentially. I mean, Shogeg means I forgot. Okay, but that's. Bear in mind, if a Jew's Machal Shabbos Ba'onis, he has no culpability. If a Jew is Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he has to come to Beis HaMikdash and embarrass himself and bring a cup of Kaddish. There's certainly a big difference, yeah.
Then why is the Rashba still not going
to have to do
the
Olam? I'm sorry?
The Rashba is saying the Olam, though.
Yeah. So what are you going to say about the Olam? So let's come back. Let's see how do we show them deal with Onus, and then we'll have to come back and see if the tools that they give us the clarity about the Hikri Brahmi Olam. Let's take a look here together. Let's get our feet wet. המניח את הקדוש של רב, ברח ונסתר בו. I left a container for Zarab, if someone else comes and trips, or Shavara, and he breaks it, it's potter. So the faller, the walker, the pedestrian, is not liable for having broken my jar. And Huzakva, and if he falls, and not only does he break the jar, but the one who fell gets cut by the jar, number one, the pedestrian is potter of damage to the kad, and on the other hand, the balachavas is chayiv for damage or injury to the pedestrian himself. The Gemara starts with the kad and chavas, and then the Gemara gets to the core deal of the Mishnah. Starts to know why I tap your potter. I'm my potter. Why do you potter if you broke your thing? The guy left the jar in the Shalom. You came along and fell in it. So you're mazik him. I might talk to you, but I don't let you know your mazal. You should watch where you're going. I'm going to the question's already fascinating. The question is fascinating because the assumption is, well, you're chayiv because you should have been careful. You're chayiv because you were a prosheya. And then the answers are fascinating. As the first answer, they say the name of Rav. They're talking about a situation where, you're right, normally it is the one pedestrian's responsibility. But this is a case where the Balachavis did the wrong thing. He filled up the whole width of the street with barrels. It wasn't one barrel, it was loads of barrels. It was unavoidable. Shmuel says, we're talking about a case where it was dark. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bekeren Zavis. Rabbi Yochanan says, the case where it was at the corner. It was right beyond the corner, you couldn't see it. So that's why I'm putter, because I could not have noticed it. That's why I'm putter, I could not have noticed it. And then you have more Gemara's later. So this Gemara is very difficult. What do you do with other Gemara's itself? Then you have more later, the next Mishnah. Someone slips on the water. Sorry?
Literally getting our feet wet.
That is certainly true.
Sam, it's your fault.
Wet.
Certainly true. The Gemara has a discussion about Nisqa Poshea. That discussion flows from the Mishnah of Chesamel. The Gemara of Chesam Bey is going to bottom of Chesam Bey is going to Chesam Aleph, raises the question of Chiyuv Ba'onas. The Gemara raises the question of Chiyuv Ba'onas. How's the Gemara here getting to the question of Chiyuv Ba'onas? Because if Yehuda says, look, the only time. Okay, what did Mishnah say? Mishnah said, my jar broke. I had a container of liquid, a container of water, and it broke. So I am responsible. The Baal HaKav is responsible for what's going to happen. Someone's going to trip on that water. Someone's going to fall and cut themselves on those shards. So the Baal HaKav is inside. So Yehuda says, not so fast. Why is the Baal HaKav inside? My jar broke, now I'm tired of the results. Depends if I was miscavenging or not. That's what Yehuda says. Right, let's come to the Gemara at the bottom of Chesam Bey. What do you mean, Miskaven? What do you mean, Miskaven? You said you only have your Miskaven. Miskaven do what? I was trying to break it. I intentionally created a bomb. No, I said no. Rafa says, the Miskaven, all we do is not to mix it. I was trying to lower it. Not that I was trying to break it, I was trying to lower it. I was doing an action which went awry. I was just trying to to ease it off my shoulder, put it down. But I was trying to ease it off my shoulder, it ends up falling and making a whole mess. So the Gemara says, wow, Rabbi Yehuda, the Makel, is still pretty much here. Even Rabbi Yehuda holds that as long as you were miscavered to do something with the jar, you're going to be responsible for whatever happens after. The Gemara says, that means you're the Remeir, the Tana Kama, is even more machmer than that. Okay, more machmer than that. And even if Yehuda holds, as long as I was trying to lower it, do move it somehow, I'm chayav for it breaking and the damage that would result from it breaking. So that means Remeir holds, even if I wasn't discovered to move it at all, meaning I was just holding it. I mean, the Gemara is very dramatic. The Gemara says, I mean, Nifshira, I'm just holding the jar, and all of a sudden it just like melted away in my hands. And so it just shatters. A total fluke. The Gemara says, yeah. M'chai ha-remeir. If you azena b'yada, even if you're still holding the handle, you're holding the jar, and all of a sudden, all that's left in your hands is like a hand. All of a sudden, you're just holding handles. Like the rest of you just like disappeared. It just smashed. There was a crack. You had notice. It just, boom. Marnish. The Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, am I? Anusu. That's an honest. Maybe there was some crack you hadn't noticed. Or you thought they had filled it with water and really filled it with hydrochloric acid. Full total onus. I was just holding a jar. Next thing I know, it just 90% of it is smashed on the ground. It's a mess of water and glass on the ground. Or the Mishnah's example, the mess of water and pottery shards on the ground. I had nothing to do with it. I mean, it's my jar. But I didn't cause it to break whatsoever. The Gemara says, really? Amari, how did you come on to Chayma Onesu? Onesu Akhmaran Patran. You're not Chayma Onesu. We learned that from the Psuke Parshki Seitze. Ulanaru Lo Sasa Dover. That's the source for Onesu Akhmaran Patran. What's that Pasuk talk about? That Pasuk talk about rape. Pasuk says that we do not blame victims of rape. As far as says, if a couple violated DRIs consensually, both were interested partners in that act, and then both are liable to be punished for that act of DRIs, of inappropriate relations. But if it wasn't consensual, if this fellow forced the woman to have beer with him, then the Torah says he's liable for the crime and she's not. Well, Naro Sasa Dabar, you're not going to punish her whatsoever. The Torah says punishing the victim of rape would make about as much sense as for the act of znus would make about as much sense as punishing the victim of murder for the crime of murder. Torah says kasha yakum ishar eir tzach hanefesh kira davraza. Torah says just like if a criminal jumps on a victim and stabs him, you're not going to blame the victim for the crime of murder. He was the victim. He wasn't the perpetrator. Torah says rape is a crime with a victim. The same way murder is a crime with a victim. Now, the difference is the difference you could have drawn, and the reason why the Gemara sees in that pasuk a larger halachic principle is because being stabbed is not a ma'isa aveira, but passive participation in an act of znus can be a ma'isa aveira. In other words, when a woman is, when both man and woman are willing, the act of B is considered to be a ma'isa aveira for both of them. So there is a halachic chiddush in saying, even though what she did do, her passive participation could have been in a different context with her biritzona be construed as a ma'aseh aveira. Here it's not. Why? Because it was against her will. So that's why onus. That's why this becomes a source for onus hachmana patra. And we extend that even to a case where I actually did something. If I actively commit a masa, but that masa was done by onus, I'm not liable for the masa that was done by onus. The Gemara says, this is by onus. The Gemara says, well, we'll end with this for now. We'll pick up Hitchum tomorrow. The Gemara says, I'm in the Katala. In Nizik in Chai. You're right. For a crime like murder, we would say ones rachman apatre. But in terms of nezek, ones does not patre. So that at that point, it sounds a lot like other mazik is chayiv ones. But the problem is the Gemara is going to take it in a different direction. We'll pick up on that and do that next time. See where the Gemara goes, and then we have to come back to see how the Rishonim deal with the Sefer and Gemaras.